want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we come to you live at this time every Sunday evening, as we have for nearly the past 7 years, both here and our previous venue, and that is 9 p.m. Central to midnight. We are, however, very seriously considering a time change for the show. Our show comes on at 10 p.m. Eastern and doesn't end until 1 a.m., and I'm getting lots of emails from people east of the Mississippi that said it'd sure be more convenient if your show aired earlier. And Annie and I and Katie have been putting our heads together. And, of course, my wife is in my ear about this. And we are seriously considering moving 2 hours earlier. Yes, that's right. So instead of starting at 9 p.m. Central, we're thinking about starting at 7 p.m. Central. And we would like to hear from you. Dave Hodges at thecommonsenseshow.com. Give us your opinion. Would you like to see us move the show to a 2 hour earlier start? One more housekeeping item before we go to our next set of guests, and that is we now have a new feature on the website. It's our newsletter. And in the first, 12, 13 days, we've had about 2,500 people sign up, and we would invite you to be the next to sign up. It's free, it's easy, and all the stuff that appears on the Common Sense Show website will be delivered conveniently to your email box every morning. So once again, thecommonsenseshow.com, and right at the top of the website, there's a sign-up list. And of course, we do not sell emails. In fact, I don't even monitor this myself. It's not marketed whatsoever, I promise. Well, in the next 35, 40 minutes, we're going to be learning about a new movement. It's a quasi-political and a judicial movement designed to stop the bad guys from breaking the Constitution in areas like Jade Helm 15, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, on and on and on. Basically, every initiative that comes out of the criminal White House right now, we have a couple of gentlemen online who are looking to put an end to this. And I'm not one for political solutions, but I think this judicial solution has merit. And here to talk to us about it is John Durash and his partner, Gerard. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Yeah, how you doing, Dave? Thanks for having us. We appreciate it. And I guess I'll just start off, maybe if I take about 10 minutes to kind of explain what we've been doing and how we got to where we're at.
By all means.
Actually, we started off trying to fix things on the political realm by, you know, going into the committee man process and bringing that back under the law, but that is so tied up, we even tried to take it back through the courts, and the courts we found out were so corrupt that it was an impossibility. But in that process of doing that and learning law, learning how to go through the process of law and, you know, how things work, and learning about what's called common law, which is what our founding fathers have built our nation on, we came to a Supreme Court case. It was U.S. versus Williams, and Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, wrote that the common law grand jury, and he referred to the common law, through the Constitution, which is common law and our Bill of Rights, but he said that the grand jury has the power ultimately to be totally independent on their own and to indict or write presentments at their own will, and that they had the power and the ability to investigate any wrongdoing, whether it be in the political or judicial realm, and file the necessary papers through the process that cannot be stopped. So when we found that, we realized that this was potentially the way that we could save America. So about 2 years ago, we went national. We started off, as I mentioned, as New York committeemen, but we turned that to New York Liberty Alliance, and we found people coming in from different states wanted to get involved, so we ended up going with National Liberty Alliance. And what we have accomplished in the past 2 years is we have established a presence in every state of the union. There is a unified state common law grand jury in every single state, and there is what we pulled together was a unified United States common law grand jury. And we started filing papers here in New York at first, and we then went into the federal level and started to file papers in the federal courts. But we filed what was called a quo warranto, which we filed on November 14th, 2014. And since then, we've been preparing to get back into the courts. We've written about 8 papers, which we're looking to bring in one at a time, which is mostly educational, but also it's writ of mandamuses, which is we command you. And again, with the authority of the common law grand juries, okay, by the people's authority ultimately, and with the people behind us, because you see, nobody really can save America. We can't get a politician to save it. We can't get a group of politicians to save it. We can't get a couple of judges. Neither can a couple of people. Only the people can save America. So this has become a pretty big movement. You know, we've got a very popular website at this point. It's nationallibertyalliance.org. And anybody who comes to our website and looks at the front page, reads the front page, watches a few short videos we have, they'll understand exactly who we are and what we're doing. And we're out to educate the people. As Thomas Jefferson said, you know, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never can be. The power of the people and the power of the common law through the power of the Constitution is really quite remarkable. And even though we have lost our court systems, you know, they've turned into a fictional. They're really a de facto court. They have really no true power, no true authority, but as long as the people believe they do, then they have it. So the process really is really educating, and you don't have to educate everybody. I mean, that, of course, eventually should take place, and we should move, you know, the knowledge of common law and civics back into our schools and teach children, you know, what exactly their liberty is all about. And every individual, when they come out of school, high school, should be able to defend themselves in a court of law. Lawyers are the biggest problems. Matter of fact, that is exactly as the Bar Association that they've used to construct a statutory prison, which is what we are all stuck in. And so we have all three branches are out of control. I mean, the true problem is really coming from the administrative branch. The judiciary branch is really... just have drawn in a lot of criminals, and they call themselves judges, but really they're involved with RICO, and it's really seriously defunct on that level. Congress really has no clue what's going on, and again, it's all about money and power to all of these people, especially Congress, and so everybody's lost. We do have sheriffs across the nation trying to figure out, some of them are realizing there's a problem, trying to figure out what to do. They're ignorant of the law. They don't understand their powers and their authority. If they did, they'd be able to stand up with a lot of power. The powers that be, you know, when I say the powers that be, I mean the people that have their hands on the control, which are controlled ultimately by another group of people. But nevertheless, you know, the judges and the... congressmen and the senators and so on and so forth, they're still frightened of going up against the sheriff, and they're also frightened to go up against the grand jury. So what we've done is we started to construct the common law grand juries, as I mentioned earlier, throughout the entire nation. And we're building this on principles, which is what common law is built upon, teaching everyone in order to come in to have a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And we're developing an administration in every county across the nation. At this point in time, we are starting to develop that down into the county level, so that eventually we would have an administration of a group of four people in each county, which would be responsible for calling forth the jury when required, the grand jury and trial juries, and to orientate them and prepare them for the job before them, and teach them also that they need to process and go forward with a sense of honor, sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And those are the three principles of common law. It's the three principles that we've built our organization on, and it's also the principles that we will train every jurist in order to make a decision.
John, let me interrupt you just for a second. I wanted to ask you, how do you set these up in these individual communities? What's the mechanism?
Well, basically, the people stepping up and taking authority and power. NationalLibertyAlliance.org is really a facilitator of knowledge and organization and communications amongst the people across America. We have taught people the process and how to set these things up as far as preparing for organizing, and we're training people. We have a course, a free civics course online, which everyone should take. But that free civics course basically sets the stage of the training for the administrators for the purpose of bringing together the jurors when needed. Right now, states operate a little differently from state to state, but most states really operate where the jury is controlled by the judge and the grand jury is controlled by the prosecutor. And so you have the fox in charge of the hen house, because they have total control over these people, and they do a psychological review on all these people as they come in. They choose the individual they want that's controllable to be the jury foreman. And of course, they ask them a lot of questions, a lot of political questions. They get to know who these people are, and then they're able to manipulate them. And very few people can really get out from the clutches of the courts once they send a grand jury in, because we've all heard the story where the prosecutors say, you know, they can indict a ham sandwich. And that's a pretty sick joke, and they do make that point, and they think it's funny, but it's pretty sick. And so they've manipulated the people. It's called jury tampering. They're all guilty of jury tampering. And then on the other side, you have all of these statutes, unconstitutional statutes that have been created by out-of-control Congress. And ultimately, the bar writes all these things, and they're the ones that teach lawyers. They're the ones that school them, and they control them. And you don't become a lawyer unless you become part of the bar. And so the bar has written, many or people behind the bar have written all of these statutory acts and laws and different things, and Congress is paid off ultimately, and they just pass them. So we've created a prison for ourselves. It's really a defunct system, and we need to bring the common law back into position. Now, it's as simple as really getting enough of the people filing the paperwork and bringing to light the law and the history of the common law of the jury, of the grand juries, which is common law in our state, and educating the sheriffs. We're in the process of educating every sheriff in the United States. We have papers going out to every one of them. We file our papers not in one federal court, but there are 94 federal courts. We file in all 94 federal courts. Because they have, they constantly go out and they actually remove papers from the file. So they kind of.
John, let me ask you: Are you teaching people to convene federal juries or state grand juries?
Oh, everything. You know, have to build them up at all levels, because you have to build it up, and there's really only two legal lawful levels, and that's the state level and the federal level. Anything on the town, village, and city is unconstitutional. They're called courts not of record. They actually do not have the power or the authority to fine or incarcerate. But people don't know that. They don't understand that. And that's what we need to bring to light. You know, if you want to get rid of darkness, the best cleanser is light. So bring in the light, bring in the truth, and let everybody know it. And that's what we're doing. So we're filing our papers. Anybody goes out and looks at the quo warranto that we filed on November 14, 2014, and reads through that, it lays out, it starts the process of laying out to the courts and to Congress and to the administration exactly what powers they have. And anything beyond what we've listed, which comes straight from the Constitution, they don't have power to do. And so it really set the stage for what we're doing. And the next seven papers that will be going out one after another every 3 or 4 days will really educate and also bring to light exactly what's going on in this country. Now, again, we're filing in all 94 courts. We're coming in as the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is also referred to under common law as the King's Bench. It is the people who make the decision on whether someone should be brought into court to be tried, or, and on the other end, it's the people who make the decision whether they're innocent or guilty. And we also have what's called jury nullification, which Jefferson fought quite hard for to make sure that that jury nullification is a foundation in our country. And, of course, it is the foundation of common law, where the people, not a political animal, not one individual gets to decide, but the people, drawn from amongst us. I mean, who knows the people better than the people themselves within their own communities? So anyway, what we're doing is we are building these administrations in every county, 4 administrators in every county. And it'll be, of course, paid positions. We'll file with the controller and get the necessary funding, just as the jury, commissioners or whatever they call them in your state have done. We're taking it away from the political realms and bringing it back to the people, where we don't have anything anything in the system other than the fact that we want justice. So in this process, every federal district, okay, it is made up of so many counties. For instance, New York has 4 federal districts, but most states have only 1. But New York has 4, some states have 3, 2, and so on. Each one of these districts covers so many counties. So if we have administrators in each one of these districts pulling together the juries and the grand juries for the counties for every state issue, you know, for the state courts, collectively they also would control the federal districts. So we, again, would choose the people. Now, 2 of the main principles of common law, and they're called maxims, ultimately, is in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. And another one is for every injury, there must be a remedy. And so if you are arrested for some reason or another, and there is no injured party with a sworn affidavit, you can't be held liable for anything. And the 5th Amendment says that nobody can be held to answer for any crime without the indictment of a grand jury. In other words, the people decide, not a judge. And unfortunately today, most people are in jail that have gone through trials have never been indicted. And the juries that they've been in convicted by are puppet juries who follow the will ultimately of the judge. You know, most of the cases, the judges will address the jury and say, okay, look, you guys get to decide the facts, but we decide the law. And then they lay it out in such a way, they'll find a law that they broke and they'll apply that, for instance, carrying a weapon. You know, look at the Second Amendment says that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. A permit infringes that. A license or any kind of a requirement by anybody is an infringement, so it can't be done. So if you were arrested for carrying a weapon without a license or without a permit, and you would acknowledge that, sure, I carry a weapon, it's my unalienable rights, protected by the Second Amendment. And then, of course, the judge will say, well, look at, you see, he admitted or she admitted, and look at, here's the law. They have to have permits, and this is the requirement. You got to send them to jail for 2 years or whatever they claim has to be done. And therein is the problem. Common law is not fixed. You know, there isn't a fixed crime with a fixed sentence with a fixed situation, because every situation is different and unique. And common law is really common sense, applying principles, looking and seeking for an injured party, and bringing restitution to the injured party, and not a fine or monies to the government, which our system is set up. You know, people get convicted of a crime, they maybe get a big fine, and the injured party gets nothing. They get thrown back into the streets, and they have no restitution. Common law doesn't operate that way. Common law does not permit for that process to go that way. Common law requires that the jury not only decide whether the person is innocent or guilt, they get to decide if there is some kind of a law, whether that is constitutional or not, whether they want to apply it in this case or not. It could be constitutional and say, well, look, we're not going to apply it in this case for whatever reason. And nobody can second-guess the decision of a jury. And so they have the power and the authority to make those decisions, and then they get to decide, the, you know, how serious is the crime. You know, you may get a jury, and someone may say, hey, look, you know, if I was in this person's situation, I would have done the same thing. So there are, you know, sometimes there's, you know, things that take place, and then people will, you know, they may let them go or put a very light sentence and or a requirement for some kind of restitution, you know, money-wise, monetary-wise. But common law doesn't really look to put people in jail. It looks to settle the problem and make sure that the person who committed the act against another individual, that they pay the restitution. These are all biblical principles. You know, you steal a man's ox, you got to replace four. That's what you find in the Bible. And that's the principle what common law is built upon, to make sure that restitution is taken care of the injured party. And the state cannot be the injured party. A lot of these court cases, as I said, there is no grand jury indictment. There is no jury that's a free jury, you know, that can act on its own. They're under control. And then they apply laws, which is blanket for everyone. I mean, some people, for very silly things, could go to jail for 20 years. I mean, what kind of justice is that? And so when we bring common law back into the process, the administrators become, which is four for every county, they become the investigative body for the grand jury, which means they have the power and the authority to walk into any government office or to talk with any person who is a servant, you know, an elected or an appointed servant or even a hired servant. They have the authority to go into the office, into their agency, to investigate, ask questions, and they don't even have to have a reason to do that. They could be doing that just because they want to make sure that there's no crime or no problems. Now, the power of the authority, if they find a problem, would be to write a prescription and to let them know what violation they're violating, the Constitution, of course.
Okay. John, I'm going to hold it right there. We're going to go into a short break, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we got to hold it right there. And I think we've got the idea about the basic mechanics. When I come back, I want you to apply it generally to a couple of major issues before we call it a night. And this is fascinating stuff. And folks, you're going to want to stay with us after this short read that I've got for Bob Griswold and ReadyMadeResources.com. Really good stuff we're hearing here. It's really, I think, the only viable judicial decision that I have heard. But I want to tell you about my friend, Bob Griswold. He's been in business for 19 years, ReadyMade Resources, and many of you have already taken my warning and have ordered his night vision goggles, the PVS 14 third generation auto-gated unit. It's the very best in the world. It's what Bob sells, still available. If you don't have it, again, I'm going to really push you to get this. But I wanted to really focus this evening on Bob's food storage. Bob's Mountain House Foods are the very best in the industry. And we want you to go up to ReadyMadeResources.com this evening. Take a look at what Bob is offering there. He's got something for everybody. It's really good stuff. And for every $100 you buy, Bob Griswold will send you 15 pre-1964 dimes. Mix or match 6 cans to a case. And, of course, you're going to get free shipping. Call Bob tomorrow at 800-627-3809. That's 1-800-627-3809. That's ReadyMadeResources.com. And my friend Bob has been in business for 19 years. Well, our guest is John Durash, and he is joined by Gerard. And John, let's take this great amount of information and not really take this too much any farther, because I'm worried about information overload. And let's take this concept and talk about what you could do in a general way, because I don't want you to give away battle plans, to stop things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, to stop things like Jade Helm 15.
All right, well, let me try to answer that, you know, as much as I can, and maybe Gerard can pipe in after me and maybe put some more to it. But generally speaking, you know, the law that has been set up originally, the foundation and the process, the procedure, the judicial process particularly, has been the same since this nation, was born, in 1789. And so the process and the procedure is in place. They've been working very, very hard to get rid of the writs, particularly habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is an extremely powerful writ, and they could never answer it because they're always outside their jurisdiction. So that's one of the items we're starting to work with pretty heavily with, is to write writs of habeas corpuses for people who are unjustly being brought into the court system. We're also working with family court problems. The family court problems in America is horrific. It's really... it's just child trafficking,
You're talking about CPS and how kids drop out and get involved in sex trafficking rings, right? Okay.
So we started to work in that arena, and we're working across the nation. We're bringing that into the courts to deal with that particular problem, to bring it back on to where it should be. It should not be. There shouldn't be such a thing as really family courts. It really should be something set up to try to bring the families back together and repair the problems. And something should be done under the authority of the courts. But you shouldn't have lawyers making these decisions. But I don't want to get into those details. But what we have done, again, is we're looking to educate. And we've written papers. And, again, as I mentioned, we are filing them in 94, all 94 federal courts, each district, and then we are bringing together every single elected state individual. We're filing and bringing them in as respondents, and we're coming in as the King's Bench, the grand jury, which is pretrial, and to bring them under authority of the people by ordering them through these writs. There's the writ of mandamus, particularly very powerful, which is "We command you." It's a writ that they cannot ignore. They cannot disobey. There's a process and the procedures already set in the courts for anybody who defaults and disobeys. Same thing with the writ of habeas corpus. So we're dealing with the sheriffs to bring them into the knowledge and understanding and the duties, what they should be doing, and educating them. We've got a 26-page paper that's going to be filed very shortly, and it'll be served on every single elected official. On the federal level, we'll be serving the marshals, we'll be serving the FBI, Joint Chief of Staff, Congress, Senate, everybody on the federal level. And on the state level, we're also going after Congress. We're filing it in in the Assembly and the Senate of every state, and also every governor and every sheriff. So they're being brought into the process in order to enlighten them and inform them of what they have not been doing and what their duties are. So it's an educational process, it's a command from the people, and it really ties the Constitution together. The prime paper that we filed in the beginning, as I mentioned, was called Quo Warranto, Quowarranto, two words, Quo Warranto. And that is a paper that really puts them on notice that they've been breaking the law of the land, which is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and which is common law. And we also are dealing with Jade Helm, particularly. We're dealing with a lot of problems in the courts where they're filing papers on people that come in without lawyers, and they don't want you in there without a bar attorney. This way they can control the case. Well, once you come in and you start sticking your fingers in places, they don't like it, and it gets all this stuff on, people will bring up the Constitution where a bar attorney won't, okay?
And well, John, so I've got two final questions for you here. One is, I interviewed a couple of summers ago a gentleman who used to be an assistant prosecutor here in Maricopa County. He had a fairly high position, and I know this individual on a personal basis. I don't know him well, but I do know him. He told me that court cases are monetized.
Yes.
Is that your understanding as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's RICO on steroids. That's where RICO comes in, because it's all about money, and the true criminals are these people in black robes and all of these quote-unquote lawyers in suits. I mean, they're going after the people and destroying people.
And these court cases are traded on the market.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're aware of that. Okay, that's look. This guy is not a kook.
Every time a judge bangs his gavel, he receives a bonus in his retirement account. People don't know that. How can your judges be impartial when they're making money every time they convict somebody?
Well, Gerard, I know it. I've been hearing it for 2 years. It's shocking that 99% of the people out there say, oh, you're crazy. That's just not true. And then the other question I have to ask here, because we're just about out of time, people are listening to this. They're going, you know, I think this has a chance of doing something, and it's a good pushback. How can they be a part of your organization? How can they help?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, look, everybody should come out and get educated. We give a free education, how to get into the courts, common law. We have a civics course that covers all this stuff, and we're going to be adding to that shortly. But right now it's 120 hours. You take it at your time. You know, your leisure time. You come in, you work on it for a half hour, an hour, and you come back another day, whatever. So everybody should take that course. And really become educated. But basically, people should get involved. You know, we ask everybody that joins us to give us $5 a month to support the movement. And we've got quite a few people that are involved with us. We have tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people that are watching us and following along. So we're not a small organization per se. You know, we really are spread out across the entire nation. And we've started to develop committees, okay, and this is what's getting the people involved. We have the CPS lawsuit committee, which we're doing really, we're going in to sue these people, and it's already a one deal because they violated the people's unalienable right of due process, every single case, and they've kidnapped these children without due process. They got to return them. We have a frequently asked questions committee. We have a grievance committee. We have an investigative response committee. And that particular committee deals with habeas corpus. Go ahead.
They give the website nationallibertyalliance.org, and when you get there, you'll see a bar across the top where this is all broken down. And you could spend 10 years up there and never run out of some of the information we have. It's
right.
Quite daunting, but it's a very good education. And listen, common law is a process. It's about due process. It's about notification. And whether they know it or not, we have brought them into a process and they can't stop it. Because, you know, when you start an action in a court or when you do a notice, there's a due process that follows. It's like a conveyor belt.
Judicial procedures, yep.
Right. And they have to follow those. And so we've laid them into place now. They have bad habits of pulling documents out and hiding it, and that's why we're filing duplicates in every state. They can't deny they got this. There's no plausible deniability because they pull all kinds of fugazi stuff out there, you know, that they've been getting away with because the people are asleep. You know, we have a lot of walking wounded in our associations because we get those people that were in the system, even worked in the system, and then they got bit. They took their kids away. So those people are the most motivated to join and do something. And so naturally we get more of those people because the average person that's in la-la land that doesn't understand that the dollar's going down, that he's losing rights and everything, he only wakes up one day when he gets pulled over on the side of the road, he gets beat up, he gets thrown in jail, and he finds out he has no rights. And that's the beginning of his education. So, you know, we have a lot of people that are still sleeping. But like you said, this monetary system is ready to go down. We don't have a lot of time. We need people to come in. We need people to donate because the last push that we have right now, this last notification that we're going to do, is going to set the stage for the people to take back the country through the due process that they haven't been able to get rid of. You know, we have them in a horn dilemma with our paperwork. They cannot answer us. The only way they can answer us is they got to say one of two things. They got to say the Constitution is no longer in effect and we're a corporate oligarchy, or they got to default and not answer us at all. Those are the only two choices they have. And what
okay.
are they going to do?
Very good, gentlemen. Look, we really appreciate you being with us. We're going to air this. Our archives are much bigger than our listening live audiences, and this will go far and wide. We'll also include a link to your website at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we want to thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Okay, very, very informative 40 minutes. Annie and Katie, let me bring you in. Are you both there?
I'm here. Annie's here.
Katie?
I'm here. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I wanted to take the time that we have here because I didn't want to burn Annie's time in the news because she's just got too much good stuff. And I wanted to talk about Jade Helm and get your reaction. But let me tell you what I'm getting. And I don't know if the two of you have seen this or not, but I'm hearing from some pretty impressive people who are hesitant in most cases to put their name on what they're projecting. But they're saying the Federal Reserve may not be able to keep the dollar afloat or to keep it from hyperinflating this summer. And this could happen at any time. Are any of the two of you running across the same thing? And the reason I bring it up is I'm getting it en masse.
Yes, I am. And from all parts of the world. The whole world is looking at this. It's not just us.
I'm not getting anything directly, but I'm sensing things just as a general that there's, it just feels like things are speeding up. Maybe there's a panic because this has just gone so big, so maybe things are moving faster.
See, this is what I think too, Katie, and you just took me to my next point. Jade Helm. And if you're new to the listening audience tonight and you have not spent much time on my website, Jade Helm is a number one planned extraction drill of political dissidents. And there's no question the evidence is overwhelming. They've already practiced it. We've got it on video from March 27th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The second part of Jade Helm is martial law isolation of communities and the imposition of martial law and all that goes with it. Well, Katie, what you're saying there, I think, is right on the money. Jade Helm is not supposed to start until July 15th. Yet, we saw clear evidence of this in Florida, which is outside the advertised seven-state region that the drill is supposed to run in. And we saw it in Florida. We're seeing it big time now in Michigan. I've got reports now in 45 states. I'm sure it's in all 50. One time I said, it'll be in the lower 48. Well, I have to correct myself now. Because I had a viewer from the website send me pictures that I'm going to publish sometime this week on what's going on the Big Island in Hawaii. And it's clearly Jade Helm activities. So it's in all 50 states. And they have accelerated their timetable. They have increased the scope of their operation from the advertised 7 states to 50 states. Why?
Well, you know, I'm wondering if that was the plan all along. But because they're panicking, they're starting to, they're ramping up their intimidation factor. So they're maybe letting everybody know, hey, this is much bigger than you think, so relax, because you're never going to grab hold of this.
Annie, why don't you weigh in on this?
Well, yeah, I get it from a world perspective that they're being told, other countries are being told more of what's going on than we are here in the U.S. Of course, we're not being told anything on the mainstream media, just by independent media. And the other countries are looking at us very closely because if we go, they're afraid they go.
Yeah, and you're right, Annie. You're right.
Yeah, and your economic forecasters are just putting out an article almost every day. This is happening, folks. Get ready. It's close.
She's right about
you know,
that.
Let me address the media issue, Annie. You're right on the money with this. I'm getting it, too, from a lot of Brits. A lot of Brits are contacting me, I say a lot, 5 to 10 a day, which is a lot comparatively to what happened before Jade Helm. And they're getting the same thing, although they're seeing Jade Helm activities in the UK. But let me tell you about my experience with the media. On one hand, anyone who dares to say that Jade Helm's about martial law and extraction, you're a tin foil hat wearing conspiracy fear-mongering theorist. But folks, when you look at their own literature, they're using the Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, some Army Rangers. They're using all the people that are connected with foreign operational kidnap and assassinate activities. This is what they do. They go in and take out command and control, and they neutralize key personnel. And they're practicing here in American communities. And then, so when they're caught on that point, and they admit that they're practicing infiltration techniques, as per the Houston Chronicle, as per the Bastrop County Commissioner's briefing with a lieutenant colonel from Jade Helm, admitting to this. Then they say, but it's for foreign military training operations. Bullcrap. It's not about the Middle East. If you were doing the Middle East, you'd be in the sand dunes in Yuma. You would be in the Central Valley in California where you would have sand. They're conducting these operations in wooded areas, in dry land. They're not sand. You practice on the terrain that you're going to be operating in. They are lying through their teeth. They say they're going to come and blend in and live among the population. Really? So you're going to drop in a 19-year-old Caucasian private, and he's going to live with Arabs into Crete? I don't think so. No one's believing this bullcrap. And then why is DHS involved in this? And FEMA? Are we sending them to the Middle East too? And then, of course, you've got the 82nd Airborne. They're prominently listed in this. That's the group that enforces the martial law. You got the extractions with special forces operations. You've got martial law with regular military units. And overseeing it is the new group that's taken over national intelligence, DHS. Yes, in case you missed that, that's a fact. So let me tell you about my experience with the media on this point. NPR ran an article sometime earlier in the week where they took quotes from many of my stories on Jade Helm and made fun of me. They were very sarcastic, although they did not mention me by name, but the links kept going back to the Common Sense Show. It kind of backfired on them. I'm still getting, here now, what, 6 days after the article ran, about 600 to 800 hits a day from NPR people that are reading this in the archives. I got 30,000 in the first 2 days, and a number of these people are continuing to come back, and some of them taking the time to write to the message board and or to my email. So backfired on them. And then, of course, you've got a station down in Houston, KHOU-TV, whose TV reporter said that I reported, as he was showing my website on his TV broadcast, that I said that there were Americans inside of death domes in Texas that were being slaughtered. An absolute fabrication. A lie. I've never said that. Nothing close to that. And then, you know, Annie, you said the mainstream media is kind of ignoring it. Well, some of them are flirting with it. Let me give you another example. I was on Channel 8, all-news station in Washington, D.C., I believe it was Thursday morning. And 8 minutes was the interview, typical. It's pretty long for a TV interview, actually. And I was able to get out the fact that, here's what we know. This is what special forces do. This is what they're planning for. No, this is nothing like the Middle East. And then I brought up the ISIS overlay. The ISIS overlay is fascinating because we have ISIS base camp 8 miles from El Paso, Judicial Watch, double sourced. No, it's true. I've talked to people in intel, retired, who have contacts in intel active, who say it's true. I'm hearing it from my military contacts as well, from their contacts. It's true, folks. And then right after I wrote that story, and people say, oh, no, that's not true. Don't stand by Judicial Watch. I can say that three times fast. But don't believe a thing they say. But what happens the next day? We get an FBI declaration from the director that ISIS is in all 50 states. And then the day after that, it's ISIS has 71 terrorist cells in 15 states. It just never ends. And so I was on this D.C. station, and they were really quite amicable with me. And I was kind of surprised because they were about as liberal a bent as you can get. And then they turn around and cut me off just as soon as I started mentioning ISIS incursions. And this is what the Texas Rangers, one in particular who communicated with me, said that they're worried about. And by the way, I was chastised for that in these media articles. And then what happened 2 days after the NPR article? Pam Geller's Draw Muhammad Prophet cartoon and the killing of the two people from Phoenix who were ISIS-related, and we have the ISIS tweets that link them in. It is amazing. The mainstream media can't decide if it's bipolar or not, if they have multiple personality.
What amazed me is the FBI director came out after the Garland, Texas incident and said, "Oh yeah, we know of thousands of ISIS ISIS participants in the U.S. Where has this information been?
Yeah,
where
been under
has
lock
this
and
information
key.
Been? Yeah, and I'm looking you know, at Drudge right now.
Yeah.
If you look at Drudge right now, they have the top story is the Jade Helm logo with Texas bristles at Obama's invasion, fears fester, Rand Paul plays down comments on military exercise, and governor working to calm. At the top of Drudge. This is beyond breaking through.
You're right, Katie. You're absolutely right. And so, you know, I've had this love-hate with the media. I was on a station down in Mississippi, in a Fox station in Provo, Utah, and all of them scared to death of this. I mean, we're talking Clear Channel, Fox stations that wouldn't have touched me with a 10-foot pole a year ago are inviting me on to talk, and surprisingly, they're very congenial. In fact, actually, you know, I hope the audience is sitting down when I say this, Tom Harmon's people, you know, there's not a more liberal broadcaster out there than Tom Harmon. And they invited me to appear last Wednesday. Unfortunately, we couldn't work out the schedule differences. I had some commitments I couldn't back out of, and they weren't interested in doing a pre-record. So I wasn't able to go on. But, you know, Dave Hodges on the Tom Harmon show, that's somehow the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard in my life. But you're looking here at Jade Helm, and let me tie the knot together. I'm going to write an article in the morning, and I would encourage everyone to go to the website in the morning, because I'm writing about it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, economic collapse. 2, political and military chaos, because we're going to see these ISIS incursions increase in intensity and scope. And listen, I've got Army Rangers telling me this, as well as a Texas Ranger off the record. And they can excoriate that comment all they want. But boy, 2 days after I was told I was full of crap and they're not worried about ISIS, what did we have in Texas? An ISIS attack. So we're going to see, too, the ISIS overlay, and that's going to create havoc. That's going to make Jade Helm, in my opinion, go live, or something like Jade Helm go live. And then that's going to be used to create such a chaotic situation, and out of order comes chaos. And by the way, that was the favorite line repeated over in the Avengers movie I saw yesterday. We got to tear it down to rebuild it. Well, that's what they're planning on doing, because that's when the TPP comes in. And what I'd like everyone to do, if you really want to know what the TPP is going to look like, well, one, you can read my article tomorrow, and I'll give a brief rendition. But two, you can go look at the old movie with James Caan, two A's, called Rollerball. And I don't mean the recent one, the early 2000s, it was garbage. I'm talking about the one from, I think it was 1975, 1977. And in that movie, the world was controlled by 6 corporations and no governments. And if the TPP is allowed to be brought in under the veil of abject chaos, which these events I'm talking about will create, we will be in a world without a constitution. I mean, we're going to wake up one morning, folks, there will be no America, there will be no constitution, there will simply be administrative morons and minions that serve the corporate elite. And I'll give you a teaser. They even have their own judicial system for the TPP. And if a government interferes with corporate profits, they are brought before this 22-person commission, and they can be fined and sanctioned and stripped of powers. Mm-hmm. Well, how many powers do you have to strip until you've got the rollerball scenario starring James Caan, and it's right here in our face? Folks, we're sitting right on the precipice. And if you feel it in your bones, if you feel it like Annie and I talk about, we can't believe that we're living in the time that this stuff is actually coming to fruition. It's stuff that Annie and I have been talking about for 8 years, and it's happening now as we speak. Annie, I remember when we started over at the other network, we used to tiptoe even on words like fascism. No hiding it now, is there?
No, and we were afraid we would run out of subjects to talk about. But, you know, the TPP is the second most thing that I get information on.
Yes.
The rest of the world is just now waking up about that. And the bottom line on TPP is that the UN controls it. Am I right about that?
Oh, yeah. let's put it this way. An NGO connected to the UN, yes. Is it UN-driven in spirit? Yeah. They give themselves plausible deniability by separating by one generation of who's really administering this. And another little tidbit for previewing tomorrow's article, you've got a situation where Congress is not allowed to review the document.
Right.
It's no different than Obamacare and the death panels, the 2,300 pages that nobody read. Well, the TPP is going to pass, and no one's going to read it.
I had seen where it was Senator Sessions and one other senator actually were the only two that read it, and the games they made them play, they had to go into a room, they couldn't take a phone with them, they couldn't take notepad, paper, anything, no recording. They were given one section at a time to read, and it was strictly controlled, a controlled environment, and that's how they did it, and they had to walk out. But it was, I can't remember where I read it, but yeah, they don't just hand it out for people to read. They had to go through a full procedure of security and people there witnessing them. There were certain people in the room watching them read it and making sure they weren't taking notes. It's crazy.
It's beyond crazy. It's treasonous.
Yeah.
What did I just read about a federal official got caught selling nuclear secrets to China? We got Hillary Clinton selling uranium to the Russians, and that's triple sourced. You know, right now, I remember we used to have a republic that had a lot of corruption. Right now, we have a criminal enterprise that doesn't even represent a government. Mm-hmm. And we're about ready to get rid of this government. And people say, oh, well, maybe that's a good thing. No, not with what's replacing it. You're looking at what's coming is the most autocratic form of tyranny that the planet has ever seen. And it's going to be right in our face, and we're not going to have to wait long to see it.
Wasn't it Bush that said the Constitution is just a GD piece of paper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think most of them are using the Constitution as their personal toilet paper, because that's what they've done with it. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, as long as I have breath, you know, I had someone write to me today and say that, you know, Christ is going to end and win in the end, and his kingdom will be on earth. I get that, but he wanted me to lay down and stop fighting. That person obviously hasn't listened to me very long. I'm not a very good loser. I'm a bad loser. Anyway, we're going to step aside, and I just want to remind everybody, while we're at break, go up and sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. And again, send me your suggestion. Do you want us to move back the time? And the people who want to change time are winning. Anyway, we will see you in hour number three, and we'll be rejoined by Katie in the Health Report.
Conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.